Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Everyone, this is Vicki Dobbs coming to you live with Kindred Spirits. I'm the founder of Wisdom Evolution and the upcoming Wisdom Whispers podcast and head cheerleader for the You First Revolution, encouraging you to put you at the top of your priority list, to choose you first. You know, hashtag you matter. Your dream matters. Please pop on over to my website at VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com to find out more about the programs I offer and sign up for my Friday Food for Thoughts newsletter. You'll always find a gift there, and for you listeners, there's a printable journal just for you who love to take notes, record those aha moments or questions, even write down those little whispers of wisdom that float by on the wind. Pick up your free copy of When I Listen, I Learn. I'd love to have you join our circle of support and inspiration. Choosing you first is not a selfish act. It's an act of self-preservation that allows you to gift the world with the best of you, not just what is left of you. And this morning, I'm excited to introduce you to my guest, Carol Orsborne. She's a leader in the Conscious Age movement and the editor-in-chief of Fierce with Age, the digest of Boomer Wisdom, Inspiration, and Spirituality. I love that. Carol's the author of more than 35 books, including the one we're going to talk about today, Spiritual Aging, Weekly Reflections for Embracing Life. Walking readers through the most uplifting, passionate, as well as dangerous passages on the path of aging consciously, Dr. Carol Orsborne represents inspired guidance to show you the way forward through every conceivable mood, opportunity, and stumbling block that may arise on the journey through the second half of life. Welcome, Carol.
Thanks, Vicki. I know we're on the same page. I just heard your introduction, and I agree with everything you said.
Oh, thank you. It is a journey, and I'm right there with you in the I don't know, if we look at 100 years as a great journey, I'm in that last three quarters of it with you, or the last one quarter of it. So I think we speak the same language.
Yes, we do.
And with your permission, I would love to read the message in your book from the fourth week of March. I'll read fast so it doesn't take too long, if that's okay, because I think it really kicks us off.
Well, you know, do it at a speed where people can soak it in.
All right. There comes a time to us all when we find ourselves sitting in peril, having encountered an occasion to which we could not rise. The one hostile exchange you could not excuse. The one request for help you knew was not yours to fulfill. The one act of disrespect you could not dismiss. But now there is a new voice whispering to you. This is not the voice you're accustomed to, the familiar bossy voice that you always thought was the real you. This was a voice that never whispered, let alone admitted to vulnerability. The old voice that led the charge through all the decades of your life until now could be counted on to shout from the mountaintop, here I am, everybody, the strong one. Take everything I've got. I'm powerful enough to meet all your needs. Have your way with me. I can take. But sometimes the new voice whispers, but how many times did you deny the hit you were absorbing in the name of strength, suppress your needs out of fear, trade the truth of your quivering heart for bravado, apologize for something you didn't do. For so long, you thought you knew who you were, the one who could love until it hurt, putting the pieces back together, picking yourself up, only to do it all over again, the one who could shoulder any yoke, never say no when entreated. But now, here in the land of old souls, the strange voice whispering to you of weakness and limitations that can no longer be denied has a new message for you. I am the voice that knows who you really are and loves you all the more for it. I am the voice that heals. I just love that. When I read it this morning, it just touched my heart with so much truth that it, I just couldn't help but open our conversation with that.
Wow. Well, thank you. Yeah, it's timely for me, too. And the odd thing is, obviously, when you write a book, I think you know the process. I wrote these 2 years ago, and then there's a year of marketing and publishing, getting into print. So these are eerily synchronistic. There's 52 readings for the year and, you know, one a week, and I've just noticed how often that happens to be this week's reading, how often they seem appropriate. Beyond chance, I think there's some sort of greater synchronicity moving through us in the book that I'm really happy about.
Yeah, and you've been writing, teaching, and speaking on aging for decades now. What prompted you to delve into and explore this subject, especially from a spiritual perspective?
Yeah, good question. Well, I started my spiritual journey at the age of 18 when I started asking, you know, I became a seeker, you know, what more is there? I felt like, you know, there had to be more than what my little community was teaching me. And it was sort of natural to grow into the aging question. My seeking and for answers led me to a doctorate in history and critical theory of religion at Vanderbilt. And I went to get my doctorate to find out what the meaning of life was, really. And instead I found out that even the greatest minds, you know, at the end of it, when you get to the bottom of it, it's mystery. And then I put my resume out. I was top of my class. I did great at Vanderbilt. And I couldn't get a job interview anywhere because I was turning 50. And so it was sort of natural and organic for me to take everything that I had learned, and I moved beyond the academic realm and into the realm of elders who were seekers and spiritual people and mystics and people like that to continue my education. And it blew my mind because, you know, I always thought of aging as an addendum to life, you know, a slow, sad decline, you know, something I didn't want to think about. And then, and would never happen to me. And then when it did, when I couldn't get the job of my dream just because of my age, I decided that I was going to have to look deeper to find the answers. And happily I did.
That's amazing. And kudos to you for picking up the reins of your dream and moving forward with it. And how would you define, what is spiritual aging for those listening to us this morning that haven't really heard that term before?
Okay, well, it's a third or fourth alternative, and I can't really tell you what that is until I quickly go through the others. But in contemporary Western society, there's only several ways of dealing with aging. The first is to deny it. you want to stay young and you don't want to grow old. Well, then just stay in midlife forever. And, you know, kudos to you if you can do it. You know, if you can maintain the height of your career and the height of your looks. But it gets harder and harder as you go. You end up spending more and more money on moisturizers, and then you go into the plastic surgery, and then you're one of those people that's hanging around your job too long, you know, and it's like,
yeah.
So, you know, denial works in our society. The other thing is romanticizing it. You know, people will, like, say, okay, well, we have to get old, so let's get old the way they show in the commercials. So now you get to get old, but only if you're super rich, like if you own your own vineyard. and have enough, you know, trainers and things like that, that you can still climb to the top of Mount Everest when you're 80. You know, then
right.
you're allowed to grow old. You know, and then there's the main one, the root thing that's so harsh on us, and that is the idea that we dread aging, and that aging is this place to revile, to hate it, and to, you know, put people behind closed doors and tuck them away into assisted living and gated communities, that kind of thing, or drug them, you know, just drug them. So if you're not happy with any of those alternatives, that's where the mystics and the spiritual people have so much to share with us, because they teach us that from a spiritual perspective, that older age has a meaning and purpose of its own. And it's very countercultural. It's about going within and finding peace and joy within yourself, and it's about finding freedom from approval of other people, and it's about finding and making the time to appreciate the joy of the moment and to take long walks in nature and, you know, to write the book you've always wanted to write, or just to sit and enjoy beautiful music. It's our society doesn't really teach us the skills to allow aging to the root thing about spiritual aging is it's about nurturing our spirit. You know, spirituality is about spirit. So, you know, what expands your spirit, and what haven't you gotten to yet? So that's what spiritual aging is.
It's embracing rather than chasing an ideal. It's kind of fits in with being in the now, as opposed to fighting what comes tomorrow.
Oh, yes, well said. I think you know, and you probably teach, most people live in the past, especially when
yeah.
we're old, you know, regrets and, you know, memories and things that you're not going to get back, and hanging on and all that, or the future, fear about what's coming. And I'm a big believer in the Serenity Prayer. I love the Serenity Prayer about accepting the things you can't change. I'm using my own words, but, you know, the courage to change the things you can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Right.
I'm a big believer in that, especially when we're old, because I think there's a lot of room for acceptance of things that maybe in prior life stages we should stretch ourselves to see what we can challenge and change. But, you know, there comes a time for the harvest. There comes a time for just sitting with what you've done in your life and appreciating, you know, thing, including the mistakes you've made and the crazy turns and the loss.
Yeah.
That takes a high level of spiritual acceptance to accept the unfinished bits, you know.
If you can bring that all together in your own mindset and realize that right now, today, all those things that you're looking back on with regret or frustration or doubt or guilt brought you to where you are and made you who you are today. So embracing that journey to today gives you an opportunity to look forward to tomorrow rather than taking each morning as what didn't get done. And I know for me, aging has been humbling, you know,
yes.
knee replacement. And, you know, my brain is still playing basketball at 18, but my knees are going, you're kidding, right? That jump isn't happening anymore. And it's, so it's a humbling experience, but then you find ways to fulfill the void left when your children are gone, when, you know, the grandchildren aren't right next door. So you have this space of time that used to be filled with so much doing that you have an opportunity to just be. And in that beingness, find the dream that will carry you through the next 25 years till the great-grandchildren come. That's what I told Spirit when my first grandchild was born at 60. Okay, I'm making a pact today. I want to meet my great-grandchildren on this physical plane before I leave. So, of course, Spirit said back, then you better get the knees fixed.
I like that. I think I'm going to incorporate that into my vision for the future. I would like that, too, and I hadn't even gotten that far. So that's, thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, you know, you and I are close to the same age. I was 72 when I published my first book. And I look back and I go, what am I doing that for? Now there's three, a fourth one in the works, a fifth one already, you know, in first messy draft, and a podcast in the works. And there are mornings I get up and I go, what am I doing all of this for? I'm 75 years old and what? Well, because my grandkids don't need me anymore. The oldest one's driving. The little one got his first girlfriend. I'm going, yikes, where did the days go? And now there's another gap in my world. And so as they look to college and maybe leaving, it's like, okay, so how do I nurture me? How do I fill these days with something besides mind-numbing television and games on the cell phone? And,
right.
You know, writing has been my gift, and it's never too late. So I know you're credited with your leadership role in challenging the stereotypes of aging. And instead, you've brought light to a view of aging as a spiritual experience. And I love that. What put you on the path from aging, let's say, gracefully to aging spiritually?
Wow. That's how I write. I ended up with 35. So I start every book with a question or my life, which is coming to a conclusion and looking for my what's next. And so I sort of written my way to the present moment, and I have to say I really appreciate and support how you're looking at old age, and it's one option. It's not what I'm doing, however. And about that I want to say is that my big discovery is that there's no right or wrong way to age. That what it is that taking a look at what you have completed in your life and what is left to do. So I hear you wrote your first book at 72. I wrote my first book when I was, and published it when I was late 30s. So 35 books later, I'm ready to explore other parts of myself. And this book and these interviews I'm doing is sort of a victory lap at the end of my journey, my public journey. And I haven't even quite announced it yet, but I've had some sabbaticals to find out what do I do if I don't have a thing, if I don't have a project, if I don't have grandkids nearby. You know, how do I use that time? Because I was afraid that I would be the kind of person that would, you know, just be brainless in front of the TV, you know?
Right.
But I found that I really use my time well, and it's things that are completely not valued in our society, like longer walks than usual, in which I finally start noticing the flower coming up through the cracks in the sidewalk, you know, or having the time to be in conversation with a clerk at the bank, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So for me, I'm moving to a space, and we don't know how long I'll stay there, you know. It might be a year or two before I have another idea for a book. Who knows, you know. But that's part of being in the present moment is being able to read your soul in real time to know what it is that will feed you, what will fulfill you now, and to ask yourself every day, what can I do that will bring me joy today? So for me, I got to a point where in writing, that doesn't bring me joy every day. When I wake up in the morning, when I ask that question, I think to myself, I know exactly the spot that I want to walk to, and I want to play with my dog, that kind of thing. So that's come up so often for me that I'm finally saying to myself, this is going to be my last book for a while.
That's an amazing place to come to, because you're opening the door for the next dream. You know, that silent whisper that lies in the bottom of your heart, you're giving it space to start shouting.
Yes, but, you know, and you said it yourself, it doesn't have to be in the future. I can tell the difference between the days when I'm living my dream and the days when I'm projecting into the future. So, you know, we all have those days where we're not thinking about the meaning of life. We're not at our thinking about, you know, is my life meaning? We have those days when we're just in the moment, living our life mindlessly, in a way, fully, but with the craving. That's, I think, what spiritual aging at its best can be.
That's a great way to put it, and it kind of opens a door in my mind for not just thinking about what's next, but what's now. And with that, we got to go to break. And this is Vicki Dobbs with Dr. Carol Orsborn, and we will be back in a few. Hang in there, folks.
It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Vicki Dobbs, here with Dr. Carol Orsborn, talking to you all about her new book, Spiritual Aging. And I love the conversation we're having, Carol. And how would you explain to those of us referred to as boomers that instead of dreading aging, we can experience the second half or the last quarter of this game of life, experience aging as a culmination of a life cycle, embracing it and ourselves for the rest of the journey?
Yes. What a novel idea to think of aging as culmination. I think about us boomers. We grew up, who was that web? Every time somebody turned 100, they would be celebrated. I don't know if that still happens or not. On TV. You know, you used to have to wait to be 100 and being old. And
yeah.
I started asking, well, I'll tell you, I'm going to go as possible. I did not like how my mother, I didn't. And that, you know, the Iron Maidens, the World War II women that most boomers had as mother, they were very much about control. You know, keeping control. They didn't like the idea of powerlessness. And, you know, humillessness, those things are the basis of spiritual life. And so, to the dying day, my mother was like aging, death, and dying. Didn't know it, was scared of it. pissed off at herself because she couldn't stop the post, you know, all of that.
Right.
You know? At the same time, I was reading about the myth, and also Leo Tolstoy and, oh, well, Ram Dass, Joan Chittister. There's many people out there that I'm sure and saying that, and hospice workers, they say the same thing, that many the moment of death at the death suddenly expand, their hearts like burst open with this understanding that their life was precious just as it was, and that the veil between them and the divine fades, and they're embraced by this incredible feeling of love and belovedness, and then they're gone. And, you know, we can debate where they go after they're gone, but people who've come back from, you know, death or whatever because they've been resuscitated, they all basically say the same thing. And so I started asking myself, why do I have to wait until my last breath to have this sense of merger with divine and culmination and fulfillment of my life purpose? Why can't I have that experience earlier? So, you know, that's really what sped up my dedication to not only studying and reading about spirituality, but using aging as a spiritual practice, aging as a spiritual experience.
I love that. You know, we're all headed in the same direction on this earth walk, so what do you see as the benefits of this point of view of spiritual aging?
Gosh, I was wasting, especially when I couldn't get a job in my field. I so much time in regret. I love Joan Chittister. She's a nun who writes beautifully about aging. She wrote a big book, The Gift of Age. And she says that regret is a sand trap for the soul. It comes dressed up like serious introspection. Basically, you'll sink in it. You'll get lost in it.
Wow.
I mean, I feel like a certain amount of it was helpful, but I think that a lot of us, because not all our lives, we spend too much time in regret because we think that if we figure out what's wrong, we can still fix it, and then we can make things perfect. And, you know, and then we're going to be happy, right?
Right.
And so learning, use the word of embrace right off the bat, the word. You know, learning how to embrace our own imperfection and the imperfection of the world and to let that expand our heart, contract our hearts, you know, to let it break open and to let life in. Feel
to let
more.
Light in. To even change that a touch to let light in, because we're fed so much darkness in the world around us, in conversations, in media, and even the things we read. And so letting the light in at this point is feels like, from what you're saying, really the gateway to aging gracefully. And not just spiritually, but mentally, physically, let the light in.
Well, that's what enlightenment is.
Yeah, yeah. Very true. But people, I think, perceive enlightenment as a place that you get to, not as as a way to live. And so I guess, you know, when you said something about letting life, it just sparked this let light in. It's almost like you can open a door and suddenly you have the opportunities to explore your dream, because now we're not buried in the things that we have to do, and other than doctor's appointments and, you know, that sort of thing, as our calendars fill up with the necessary. But it's an opportunity to open the heart to what the dream is now, and to move through each day with the light rather than muggle down with the darkness.
Yeah. I think there's balance there, because we can feel joy at any moment just by remembering somebody we love or a happy memory. You know, we can generate joy. And but you can get lost in a superficial happiness, you know, people who go on joy rides, if you also deny the state of the world, or you probably at this age have had losses, you know, it's okay to grieve. There's kind of put this notion out that aging is, I think there's something much deeper than just sheer happiness that can happen if we grow spiritually, and that is that we can get grounded. We can get grounded in who we are at our best, which is that we have the wide of the human potential available to us. We can experience pure, true joy, not pretend joy. We can also experience genuine sorrow. We can experience bittersweet sadness. We can be curious. You know, it's like, to me, it's become much more important as I age to be fully alive than it is just to be happy. I can't just be happy with the state of the world and what's happening with my friendships, you know, with my friends and who are suffering for one reason or another. So, you know, I think what I say is that, you know, we don't have to just grow old. We can grow whole. And that's my goal.
I'm writing that one down. We don't just have to grow old. We can grow whole. Whole, if I heard you right.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
That'll be one of those that I'll stick in something I write.
Well,
I know we're coming up on commercial time again, and I hope you're capturing some of these wisps of wisdom from Carol. It's a great conversation, so hang in there with us. We will be back in a few. This is Vicki Dobbs with Dr. Carol Orsborn and a great conversation on spiritual aging.
Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com. Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Vicki Dobbs, with Dr. Carol Orsborn, and we are talking about spiritual aging. I'm loving the divine in this conversation, because things are sort of opening up for me in ways that I haven't looked before. Have you seen a change in the way people receive your work over the past 20 years, and what do you think accounts for that?
Wow. Yes. Well, when you talk about home and me, I'm 7, and after 35, I ask, And I've been saying basically the same thing since I was 39. You know, I've been saying over and over again, the goal of life is to get to a place where you stop blocking your own sense of being beloved by a power greater than yourself. You know, over and over, I've said the same thing. And I think that one of the great gifts of age is to get past all of the ways that we block that knowledge until you're left panting on the floor, like in the void. I mean, at first I think we can find love by being successful or being rich or being a good wife or being a good mother. You know, this, or being a bully or, you know, or being shy or being talented. We go through 1,000 masks. One by one they get torn away from us. You know, we're forced to retire before we want to, or our kids grow up in a way, or, we can't, I always imagined that I would play clarinet when I was my age because I loved child, and I have numb fingers that keys, so you know, my well, I'll play in a band when I'm old. It got ripped away. When all of those masks and places to go get taken from you, and it's just you, yourself, and whatever is happening for you in the day, that's the real spiritual journey begins. You take a deep dive, and you discover in humility that you can be beloved without any need for people. You can be loved unconditionally, and that's when aging becomes culmination. And honestly, 90% of the people that are attracted to my work are old enough that they've had enough lumps and bumps in life that the masks have been stripped away, and they have either discovered, oh, this is what it means to be beloved unconditionally. I have no conditions. I have no reason that anybody should love me, let alone God. But that takes a lot of time to get spot. So people are either in that place, or they intuit that it's close by, or they are really, really wanting that.
That's a beautiful way to put it, and I'm sitting here as in my belly and not my mind is kind of absorbing the words that you're talking about, beloved unconditionally, and I think that, you know, as kids we're often taken to church and taught about God and taught about the Bible and offered an opportunity to interact with a power greater than us. And then we get into that time in our life when there's so much going on that sort of falls to the wayside, and suddenly you begin to realize that, you know, it isn't about the book, it isn't about the building, it's about something greater than us that we can touch in a tree or our feet in a blade of grass and just revel in the glory of what is. And is there for us unconditionally. And I think that opens our heart to a whole new way of viewing unconditional love. And maybe even offering it too. And I watch some of my friends who are by themselves, and they don't have children, they don't have siblings, they, you know, life has grown beyond that age for them, and they're in a place of finding themselves as they age by themselves, and if they're lucky, and they're willing to take the step into new opportunities, you grow a community of like-minded individuals who are right there in the same boat with you, and suddenly you've all got oars, and there's nobody steering the boat, but there's always one person whose voice says, okay, let's go left. And everybody says, yay, let's go left. I have no idea what's left. Let's go left. And I don't know where all this is coming from. I think that changing the way people perceive aging is such a gift to the world, because
what are we? You know, how many millions of us are over 60 or 65 or, you know, it's kind of like we're this huge group that needs to just find each other and have fun and enjoy and embrace life.
I started by asking me how has response to my writing changed over the years. I see a mass awakening happening. I think maybe partly because of COVID, where people had a lot of time on their own to think through things and also had their expectations dashed. A lot of people had a spiritual deepening during that period. And what I'm finding is that individually, many of us grew spiritually over the last 10 years or so, 10, 20 years, but didn't know it. And so I'm like a catalyst when I go out and speak, publish the book. I'm also on Substack, and people are coming to Spiritual Aging at Substack. And I'm actually running a spiritual aging study and support group based on my book there, and also for Saging, which is an organization. So when people find out that they're not the only one, then it quickens the pace and it deepens the conversation. And it takes it from being a lonely sort of place of solitude and contemplation, which is one form of spirituality that I greatly cherish in my life. I like having periods of solitude and contemplative time. But I'm finding right now that there's this massive upswelling of us trying to find each other. And so a lot of people are using my book because it is weekly study guide just to get a couple of friends together and do that week's reading, like you started a reading at the beginning of our talk today, and, you know, going to each other's homes or coffee shop or doing it at your church or whatever. And my study guides just take you deeper into the questions, and we're learning together. I don't feel it's like, I'm not like a teacher telling you what to do. I feel like we're all individual explorers, and we're coming together to share our secrets. So it's such a, it's just a different model. It's a different model of learning and teaching as well as community. And if it's anything, it's like back in the 60s when we joined women's liberation, women's support groups. It's more like that.
I think that's such a beautiful opening. And when we come back, I want you to be sure to remember to tell folks where they can find you on Substack. I know I'm just learning about it, and it's been around for a while, but, boy, it's a great place, like you say, for gathering. And I'd love to know about your questionnaires and how people can find you and be a part of what you're growing in that virtual community. This is Vicki Dobbs with Dr. Carol Orsborn talking about spiritual aging, and hang in there. We'll be right back for our last round in just 2 minutes.
Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you. not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Vicki Dobbs, here with Dr. Carol Orsborn, and I'm loving this conversation on spiritual aging, and it just feels like it's opening gateways to a whole new way of being at this point in life. And I'm talking to us baby boomers when I say us at this point in life. What advice do you have for individuals in midlife who still dread aging? I know I have friends and my kids' friends who in their 40s and pushing 50. I mean, myself, 50 was like, I'm not even going to talk to you about it. That did not happen. And, you know, yeah. The good news, it does whether we want it to or not. And at 30, right. It's like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm going to be 30 years old. I got my ears pierced and my hair permed for the first time, you know. And
exactly.
It comes. And so what advice do you have for individuals in midlife who still dread aging?
Well, they may not believe what I'm about to say, but it's true. Aging is the really hard part. Old is easy. The very thing that we're resisting is the thing that creates the joy and that sense of celebration. A sense of arrival to, you know, being who we are. But for me, aging has to do with that looking backwards we were talking about earlier. You know, when you're dragging your feet because it's inevitable. I mean, we're human beings, you know. The first time I needed glasses, it was like horrifying. You mean if I ever lost my glasses, I wouldn't be able to see clearly again? I mean, you know, and that was just the beginning of it, right? So, I mean,
right.
Listen, I've lost various body parts, you know. God knows how we move on through. we're like the Raggedy Ann, you know. And so how do I have the audacity to say that being old is amazing? It's because when you stop struggling against it and accept for reality for what it can't help being, at that moment, and I swear it can be a moment, enlightenment as we were talking, where you're no longer pushing like you have been all the way through your life for control. You know, all of our lives were driven by fear and for trying to gain mastery and to get control and to have what other people have and all that. And there can be this switch, and it could be as sudden as reading my book or listening to your program, or taking a walk in nature and as what happened to me when I had a moment of conversion where all of a sudden all that left. All that was remaining for me was this feeling of being pulled forward into the bosom of the divine in a state of belovedness. I can't say it any more clearly than that. However, until you've experienced it, you think, God, that sounds pretty new agey, woo woo. But all I want you to do, everybody out there, if you don't believe that, go into any old people's home or an assisted living, or start paying attention to old people, and every 20 or 30 is going to have a beatific, you know, just this feeling of grace about them. You're going to, 19 out of 20 who are suffering, pissed off, you know, they're still aging, right?
Right.
You're going to find the 1 out of 20 who is just grinning from ear to ear just to be alive.
Yeah.
It could be the woman unloading her groceries at the, you know, in the parking lot, which is the last one that I was a few days ago. It's like, why is she so happy? Why? What could she possibly be so happy about? And I couldn't imagine as I looked at her face an end to her happiness. You know, she was the archetype of happiness and of joy and of groundedness and sense of divinity. And, you know, sometimes I'm there, sometimes I'm not, but I aim to be old because I equate old with that, with the freedom from fear and approval and the past.
Isn't that the truth? And a quest that I constantly strive for is to let go of what other people think. And I've nicknamed it WAP. You know, it kind of has ridden around on my shoulder my entire life, and slowly it's losing its grip on my left ear, and I don't hear its roar anymore. Occasionally there's the whisper of, like, I put on a black vest and black pants this morning. It's like, oh, my gosh, it's spring. How far away is Memorial Day? You don't wear black after Memorial Day.
Oh,
okay,
I know.
I'm safe. It hasn't gotten to Memorial Day yet. I can still wear my black jeans. So...
We're so programmed.
Yeah, yeah. Heaven forbid I should wear white shoes. It's not summer yet. So.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I know people our age fear invisibility. I love it. I think of invisibility as power.
Yeah.
Country, basically, to live near our daughter. We moved from the U.S. to Canada. And then I got neighborhood. Walked on the neighborhood with everybody was super dressed deep and looking each other up and down. And I felt very exposed, you know, like, am I wearing the right shoes, this kind of thing. And then I went to another neighborhood that had all young people where I was absolutely invisible. And I loved it. I mean, they weren't looking at me and competing and judging me. And then we have a dog. Thank God we have a dog, because people, we don't feel lonely at all. They love us. We were a dog. And we develop genuine relationship. And they see us as grandparental substitutes or something. So we have real relationships. And that was something I wanted to earlier, but we're talking about letting the light in. I think that now in our society, older people who aren't letting the light in and being joyful are not fulfilling their duty or their purpose. I feel like the society needs its wife more than we don't need a bunch of grumpy old people like that, you know, pushing to be on the picket lines if where you're really drawn to is working in the garden. I think there comes to a time in your life where some segment of society has got to be demonstrating what it means to live life fully and joyfully and to be there to help replenish the souls of our poor younger people who are having to fight these battles to make a living and to be okay. We have to be whole. We can't be the needy ones. We've got to be the ones that have our spirits intact.
I have that conversation with my sister, who is closer to 80 now than 75, and you know, she has a couple of rental properties and still goes over and pulls weeds and trims bushes because there's no backyard, and why pay a gardener just to do the front yard when I can't? And I love that in her, you know, that the toilet breaks, she takes out the parts and goes to the hardware store and gets whatever parts she needs and goes and puts them back in. And it's like, the conversations we have are, you don't stop doing what you do, but you also, we've asked each other to hold ourselves accountable for that old folks grumpy judgy voice, because we all laugh at we're turning into our parents, but we don't have to. And
no.
For me, I really catch myself. The older I get, the more I catch myself judging what's going on around me and pull myself up short to say, it's just me I need to be responsible for, not them. So let me be an example for them and be positive in my conversation, in empowering in my words, and inspirational in my living, so that we become the light we want others to let in as
right.
we age spiritually. And we'll be right back, everybody. Hang on for the last piece. Ah, I guess we are ready to wrap up. I thank you, Carol, for sharing your wisdom and your knowledge. It's such a joy, not just to read through spiritual aging, but to learn so many fascinating things about life in the later years from you. And guys, you can find Carol at her website, carolorsborn.com. That's carolorsborn.com. And of course, her myriad of books at anywhere good books are sold. Remember to check out my website at VickiDobbs.com and join me on social media, either as Vicki L. Dobbs Author on Facebook or Vicki L. Dobbs on most social media sites. And I invite you to sign up for my weekly Friday Food for Thoughts and keep an eye out on the horizon for my newest work, a little short read ebook coming out this spring, introducing the gifts of our good enemies, reframing our perspectives on the challenge and frustrations we encounter. This is Vicki Dobbs, founder of Wisdom Evolution and the upcoming Wisdom Whispers podcast and head cheerleader for the You First Revolution, reminding you that it's time for you to give yourself permission to be first in your world, to put you on your own calendar and choose you first. You have a right to be happy. Hashtag you matter. Have a wonder-filled week traveling down happy trails till we meet again, and have a wonderful spring.